Also greet you in Jesus' name today. Welcome again to the year of 2012. That song that we were talking about that Abner picked also impressed me, and it fits well with the thought of the message on my heart this morning. It said one place there about the victory, it's ours for the claiming, it said. Now, how do you claim something like that? How do we claim it? The victory that's won on Calvary, it says it's ours for the claiming. How do we do that? By faith. Amen. That's the only way. By faith. And that's how God provision for us today. It's finished. It's provided. And it's ours to claim by faith. The title of my message this morning is Believing God. Believe God in 2012. Believe God. One place, I think when I come, Jesus said, shall I find faith on the earth? So that's my challenge this morning, that we believe God. Because that's where our strength is. That's where our victory is. That's where our salvation is, in believing God. And there is so much contained in that. One thing that was interesting to me, is there any place in the Old Testament law that it tells you to have faith? Is there anywhere in the Old Testament law that it tells you to have faith? Anybody? Mark.
I think at the time of Israel was on the verge of entering the promised land, and they drew back because of fear. Jesus said, God said to Moses there, how long will it be ere they believe?
Right. And there was another place in Deuteronomy, it says, you people have no faith. But it did say there were two places in the Old Testament where the word faith is mentioned. Two places. The one time is in Deuteronomy where it says you have no faith. And the other time is in Habakkuk where it says the time is coming. It will come. It's in the future, but it's going to come when the just will live by faith. The Old Testament law was do and don't. Do and don't. Now, there were people that had faith. I'm not saying that. I'm going to say that. It's very clear. There were faithful people in the Old Testament. But the law did not command us to have faith. And it did not produce faith. The law was a do and a don't. But there were people that believed God in the Old Testament, and they were acknowledged for their faith in God. And it wasn't because... Let's look at Hebrews chapter 11. There's where many of the Old Testament people were referred to as for their faith. And it was because they believed in an Almighty God. And they acted upon that which they believed. But it wasn't because the things they did were not because of the law so much as the fact that they honored and worshiped and acknowledged an Almighty God. We see here in chapter 11, it talks about faith, the substance of things hoped for. One beautiful example is about Abel and Cain. Says, by faith, Abel offered to God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain. Now, what was the difference between Abel's sacrifice and Cain's sacrifice? I believe it was mostly for the fact that Abel came to God and he bowed down before God and he acknowledged God because he wanted to bring glory and honor to God. He wanted to worship God, the God that created the heavens and the earth. He had a faith in an Almighty God. And he brought his sacrifice to God in that faith to God. Cain brought his. I'm not quite sure why. I believe there was a difference. I believe it might have been because he was told to do it. It might have been because he saw Abel doing it and he wanted to do it be just as good as he was. I'm not sure. But his offering was not brought in faith to God. Abel's was brought in faith, but Cain's was not in faith. We see Noah. Noah was a man that believed God. He believed God whenever God said that it's going to rain on the earth. It took faith for Noah. Noah could not... Noah needed a great faith to believe that there's going to be a great flood on the earth that was never rained on before. He went and built an ark for his family the way God told him to do it. He believed God. He believed that what God said was true. What God said is going to happen. He had a firm belief in the Almighty God. He did everything exactly the way God said it should be. And he was honored for it. His wife, his family was saved. And all the rest of the world was destroyed. Because they did not believe God. They did not believe the message that God gave through Noah. They refused to believe God. And they were all destroyed. But Noah believed God. Noah followed God's instructions and he walked with God. And he was blessed. He was saved through that. Abraham believed God when he was called to go somewhere. He didn't know where he was going to go. He just went. Abraham got everything together and started on a journey, not knowing where he's going. But he believed God was there, and he was going to follow him. And all these Old Testament examples, it was the fact that they believed God. What he said was right, what he said is true, what he said is going to happen is going to happen. And if you follow his instructions, he's going to take care of you. And I believe that's a beautiful example for all of us today. You know, the world today does not believe God. They go and live their life the way they want to live. They live their life, they do what they want to do when they want to do it. And they're not going to listen to what anybody says about anything. They don't believe in the God of heaven. Nothing matters anymore. The law, I'm going to look at Romans chapter 4 a little bit. Romans is a beautiful chapter on this faith and law situation. Romans 4, 5, and 6. Romans 4, 13. It says, "For the promise that he should be the heir of the world was not to Abraham or to his seed through the law, but through the righteousness of faith." See, there were promises that God gave to his people. They weren't there through the law, but it was through the righteousness of faith that Abraham had in God. It says, "For if they which are of the law be heirs, faith is made void, and the promise made of none effect. Because the law worketh wrath. For where no law is, there's no transgression. Therefore it is of faith that it might be of grace to the end that the promise be sure to all the seed, not to that only through which is of the law, but to that also which is of the faith of Abraham, which is the father of us all." It is the law makes faith void, and faith makes the law void. It's our concept of God and our faith. Who God is and what He's all about. And it's not about doing this and doing that. It's about following God that makes the difference. We have so many examples in the Bible of those that believe God and the effect and the power and the manifestations of God that took place as a result of that faith in God, believing that what He said is right and what He said is real, what He said is true. This is the facts of the gospel. This is the foundation of the gospel, in believing God, believing who He is, believing what He did, believing what He said, believing His purposes. You know, God's purposes for our lives are beautiful. And sometimes He takes us through things we don't understand. But if we keep our faith in Him, we keep our eyes on Him, it all comes out to a beautiful situation. God knows what's best for us. He knows what we stand in need of. He knows the things that are best for our lives, and He knows how to get us where He wants us to be. As long as we keep our eyes on Him and we believe Him and we believe the plan that He has and we follow the direction that He gives, we believe in the cross, the finished work on Calvary. We believe in the redemption. We believe in the blood atonement, the sacrifice that was made for our sins, the payment that was paid for our redemption. All this received by faith. We receive it by believing and repenting before Him and following Him through the regeneration. We believe in His tender loving care. He looks down on us in love and cares for us, every one of us. Not one of us is neglected in His eyes. His love is everlasting. We believe Him for victory over sin. We believe Him for the power to live a life that is fruitful to His glory. We believe Him. We believe through the Holy Spirit, the receiving of the Holy Spirit. It's by faith in surrendering our entire being unto Him. It's in letting go and giving everything we have to God and receiving unto in receiving what He has for us. It's by believing God. We believe for answered prayer. Do we really believe God answers prayer? We pray and we ask petitions of God. I believe too many times the reason we don't receive is because we don't believe. But God does answer prayer. The Bible says so. Jesus shared in His Word, it's clear that God wants to answer prayer. He's waiting to answer prayer. He's a prayer-hearing, a prayer-answering God. And we ask many prayers and we pray many times. And do we pray believing? It's a challenge this morning. Are we praying in faith? Are we walking in faith? Are we living in faith? That the life of Jesus Christ be manifested in our lives today. We believe unto forgiveness of sins. It's our faith in the finished work of Jesus Christ that we receive forgiveness of sins. We believe in His church, the body of Christ. It's His plan. It's His organization. It's His body, His function, the functions of the body. It's all a part of God's plan for His glory and for His work here on the earth, that we go forth in the body of Christ, functioning as individual members in the body of Christ to bring glory to God in the way that God designs. We all have our different gifts and different callings and different functions within the body that we bring glory to Him as we believe in God. We believe that we no longer need to live in the bondage of sinful habits. That's the victory that overcomes the world. The victory that overcomes sin. It's faith. We believe that God has gone to prepare a mansion for us in heaven. It's the hope that we look forward to, that we have confidence in, that we have God is there. He's going to be there. And we can be with Him throughout all time and eternity. He's not going to let us down. It's a foundation of our life. It's a foundation of our hope. It's our whole future is established in believing God. You know, I don't know what we're going to face in the year 2012. I don't know if it's going to be just like 11 or not. Everything just sort of flowed just like it always was. Not much change. What happened in 2012, we don't know. But it doesn't really matter because we know God's not going to change. And His provision for us is not going to change. And heaven's not going to change. And eternity's going to be the same. We're going to keep our faith in Him, believe in Him, walk in Him. There's no reason to feel fearful or discouraged. But that we can have this trust and confidence that God's going to take us through regardless of the circumstances that we may face in 2012. We need to believe in eternal hellfire. There is hellfire. And it's been prepared for the devil and his angels. And those that don't believe, the unbelievers, are going to be cast into hell. So believing is a very critical situation. It's a heaven and hell matter. The unbelievers will be cast into hell. So why do we cry the importance of believing God? Because it's the life and death matter. There is an eternal heaven. There is an eternal hell. And also that Jesus is coming soon. And then will be the division between the believers and the unbelievers. It will be set at that time. Those that are believers will go with God, and those that are unbelievers will be cast out. We believe that all these provisions that God has made for us, it can be personally mine. It can be personally yours. Today, it's not something that needs to be put off for some other time. It can be your experience today by believing God. It's not out of our reach. It's available to every one of us, that we can have access to the full portion of God today by believing God. The repentance and faith toward God, that we experience the fullness of God's presence in our lives. It can be ours today. We don't have to wait till some other day. It's not something that's far away, but it's something that is ours. It's something that's here. It's something that's now. It's something that's beautiful for the children of God to believe God. Jesus is coming soon. Another thing that's beautiful about believing God. If we believe in the provision of God, we believe in the beautiful provision of God in all these things that we talked about. This true faith, it's going to change you. It's going to change us. It's going to make us like Him. True faith is going to change us into the image of God. It's going to change us into the likeness of God. It's going to conform us into His image. It's not a have to. It's not a law. But it's a living faith in a living God that conforms us into the image of God and changes us to be not like the flesh, but to be like the Spirit. As we walk in the Spirit, as we allow the presence of God to have manifest itself in our life, it will change us so we no longer be like we used to be. But we are new man, a new creature in Christ Jesus. Old things pass away and all things become new. Not because we're told to do this and do that, but because we believe in God. We believe God is on the throne, and we believe that He's on the throne of our life, and we honor God, and we adore Him, and we worship Him, and He is the focus of our entire being. This will change a sinner into a saint. This will change us, the ways we live. It'll change the way you think. It'll change the way you want. It'll change the things you used to want. You won't want anymore. The things that you used to not like, you're going to like. The things you once loved, you don't love. And the things you once hated, you now love. This is the change that takes place through believing God and believing that He is and that He is the rewarder of them that diligently seek Him. This is our God. And I want to hold this up before us all this morning. Because I believe that in 2012, our faith is going to be challenged. I believe our faith is going to be challenged in 2012. I believe that unless our faith is established in God this year, we're not going to make it. Our faith must be strong in Him. And I believe today that we can experience that reality today. Tomorrow may be too late. Today is the day of salvation. A few truths that are outstanding to me in the Bible. There's so many things. There's so much. The entire Bible. It's so full of truth. It's so full of life-changing truths that will change your life forever. One truth that I like is, you don't have to be a product of your past. Your past does not have to hinder you from experiencing the power and the grace of God today. The past can be put back there and you can go forth in the joy of the Lord today. You don't have to let your past hinder you, hinder what you are today. But you can be a product of the work of Christ on the cross. You can rest in His finished work, walk in the Spirit, and not carry out the desires of your flesh anymore. This is a truth that we need to get a hold of. We need to put the past under the blood and let it there and go forth as a new creation in faith in the finished work of Christ on the cross. Walk in the Spirit and not fulfill the lusts of the flesh. This is the opportunity for every one of us today. Another truth, I think I already mentioned a little about, that God's purposes and plans for our life. He has a plan and a design. And that His goal is to bring us to the end of ourselves. To bring us completely to the end of ourselves and to all of our resources. So that we discover His. So that we discover His resources. Then we can just trust Him. Just cast ourselves on Him. And trust Him to set us free and to make us the man that He wants us to be. This is the power of God. There's the truth about the love of God. The love of God, it's unconditional because He is love. God can't be anything but love. God is love. And there's nothing we can do to make Him love me more. There's nothing we can do to make Him love Him less, love us less. God's love. God loves us today. God does love us. He loves us in our sin. It's just like our little children. Sometimes they do things they shouldn't. And we have to correct them. But does that make us love them any less? No, we love them just as much or more. God loves us that way. Just like we love our little children. We love them regardless. We love them because they're ours. God loves us because we are His. That's beautiful. I'm glad God loves me today. This is another one that I like. It's who I am that determines what I do. It's not what I do that determines who I am. Who I am, it's being a child of God, a child of the King, that determines what I do. If I'm not a child of a King, I'm not going to do the things that a child of a King would do. But being that I'm a child of a King, I'm a child of God. I belong to Him. I am His possession. This is what going to make me the way I am. I am a new creature in Christ, forgiven, cleansed, and justified before God. This will determine the way I live. It's not what I do that determines who I am. It's who I am that determines what I do. You can live a very upright life, but that doesn't determine who you are. It determines who you are in Christ. Whether you are saved and are walking in Christ, it determines what you do. God is the only legitimate fear object in our life. Only God. And He cares for us. You know, we don't have anything else to fear. Only fear God and walk in faith with Him. There's no other legitimate fear object in life. If we fear God, and if we have faith in God, we believe in God, and we know that He's alive, He's right, He's true, He's honest, He's forevermore, He's King of kings and Lord of lords, He's the God of heaven, the Creator of the universe. He's our God. You don't have to fear any other thing. There's no other legitimate fear. You don't have to fear Satan. You don't have to fear death. You don't have to fear humankind. All these things are illegitimate fear. But by faith, I can choose to cast all my cares upon Christ and not worry about tomorrow. I went through something this week concerning this kind of... wife and I were, our family, we were talking about selling our house for a couple of reasons, and I struggled with it a lot. And I guess one night I laid awake about all night worrying about whatever, what she would do, what are we going to do if we do. And the next day, we made our decision. That's what we're going to do. What we're going to do after that, I don't know, but we're going to sell the house. And hope the Lord will provide one somewhere, another one here. But our children are all gone. We have a 5-bedroom house. There's a lot of work on the place, and it's just about more than my wife can handle. And I'm not there very much. I work every day, and so we're going to sell it. And what we're going to do after that, I don't know. So we're trusting God. And I went through a struggle with it. I tried to figure it all out ahead of time first, but finally we're just going to do one step at a time. We're just going to do one step at a time. And that's, I believe, how God wants me to be. The next night, after we finally made that decision, I went to bed and I slept so solid. I just slept like a baby. And it's just a peace that comes by just surrendering everything to God and resting and just not worrying about tomorrow. I'm not going to worry about it. So it's beautiful. That thing of just trusting God with our future. Just give it to Him. Tomorrow is not something to worry about. God's going to provide for tomorrow. God's going to take care of us. In Christ, I am no longer a product of my past. I'm a new creature in Christ. Identify with Him in His death, burial, and resurrection, ascension. I am seated with Him in the heavenlies. The law of life in Christ Jesus has set me free from the law of sin and death. I am free from sin. It's no longer my master, because I am not under the law, but I am under grace and alive in Christ, who has conquered sin and death for me. I'm no longer under the curse of the law. Christ became a curse for me by satisfying the just demands of the law. I now live by faith in the power of the Holy Spirit. I can be holy as He is holy by the grace of God. Most Christians are trying to be someone they already are and get something they already have. The truth is, we are in Christ, dead to sin, freed from it, alive to God, and victorious and righteous in Him. That's just like the song we're singing and about the battle in our minds. We battle and we battle about, all of a sudden it's ours for the claiming. We battle about things and we try to make things happen that's already finished. It's already done. We need to believe God. When we believe these truths, we believe that this is finished, then our behavior is going to change. We're going to act different. We're not going to act like that person that we used to be. We're going to be workable. We're going to be easily entreated. We're going to be kind. We're going to have the fruits of the Spirit in our life. Love, joy, peace. All those things are going to be a part of our life when we establish that faith in God that we believe and know and understand that the work is completed and we are here to receive of God those things that pertain to holiness and righteousness and peace in the Holy Ghost. I will walk in freedom if I discipline my mind to take every thought captive in obedience to Christ. That's the challenge there, that as we walk with God, our thoughts need to be taken into captivity of this fact that Christ has finished the work. Our focus needs to be completely established on God and believing God and believing His Word and not being distracted by the affairs around us. I think of Peter whenever he wanted to walk on the water to see Christ and he started looking at the waves around him and he got distracted and he started going down. That's what our walk is about. It's about walking with our faith in Christ, with our mind and our heart centered on Him, so that we're not distracted by those things around us. We must keep our mind focused. We must keep our heart focused. We must keep ourselves, every thought, captive to the obedience of Christ, that we will experience freedom, that we can walk in freedom continually. And the greatest commandment, to love the Lord my God with all my heart and with all my mind, with all my soul, and to love my neighbor as myself. I can do this because God first, unconditionally, loved and accepted me. By the grace of God, I can conform to His image. If I abide in Christ, live in the power of the Holy Spirit. I like those thoughts that it's the conforming to the image of Christ is a result of our faith in God. It's not a result of trying to obey a bunch of laws and rules and regulations. It's a heart that is centered and focused on God above and on His plans and on His will and on His workings and on His beautiful provisions for us, that it changes us from the inside out, that we no longer want the things the world has to offer, but we glory in God, in His righteousness, in His holiness, in His great provision for us today. And it's my challenge again this morning. Believe God in 2012. Believe God, because the battle might get tough, but the battle's won in Jesus Christ. If we keep our hand in His, He's going to take care of us, just like Brother Mark talked about. Keep our hand in His. Walk by faith and do His will and bring glory to His name. Be honorable and walk in honor and glory to God, that our life can be fruitful in Him. Through this, our lives can change. We can experience His reality. We can experience Him in the fullness of the blessing of the Holy Spirit as we have our focus believing in God. Believing God. So believe God in 2012. And I think He'll take us through another year. I know He will. If we believe God. Whether the world will stand that long, I don't know. But if it's still here until 2013, if we continue believing God, we're going to still have power to overcome the devil and live in victory in Jesus. I praise God for that. Let's bow for a word of prayer. Thank You, Father, for the reality of faith in Jesus Christ. It is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen, but it is the key to eternal life. And we pray that You will just be with everyone in this congregation. If there's unbelief here, I pray that You would help them to find courage to step out and claim the promise of eternal life through Jesus Christ, that holiness could come forth. Teach us, Lord, to walk in holiness with You, to be all that You want us to be. For Lord, we don't want to be anything less than what You want us to be, O God. We love You. We bless You. We give ourselves to You in Jesus' precious name. Amen. James.